Did everybody just get your tornado warning?
Yes.
And we have a basement. Here. Me and the mayor are good. We can run.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is it, what time is it? 7:30. Okay, you ready?
Let me hit record before you speak.
Recording in progress.
Go ahead, Madam Chair. Thank you.
And the Piscataway Township Planning Board will please come to order. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice published in the Star Ledger, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice made available through the township clerk and the librarian. Mr. Barlow, would you read the the community affairs guidelines, please?
Certainly, in keeping with the Department of Community Affairs guidelines issued as a result of the COVID pandemic, this meeting is being held virtually. The appropriate notices were sent out with the Zoom information so anyone could attend virtually, and I believe it's appropriate to go forward in that setting, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Mayor Waller? You're muted, Mayor. Councilwoman Cahill?
Present. Here.
Thank you. Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Ms. Saunders?
Join the meeting.
The timing, Reverend Kenny?
I heard him.
Yeah, I just heard him. All right, I see his phone number. Reverend Kenny?
Madam Chair, in the meeting.
Here we go. Mr. Espinoza? Mr. Foster? And Madam Chair?
Here. Could we recite the Pledge of Allegiance and the flag that's over my shoulder? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands,
Hi, this is Dennis.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have the swearing in of the professionals, please?
Please raise your right hand. Swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Barlow, are there any adjustments or changes to our agenda tonight?
There are, Madam Chair. The Yates Minor Subdivision has been postponed until October 13th, 2021. They have not noticed yet. And then the Paul Rubinin matter, preliminary and final site plan for block 811 lot 1.01 has also been adjourned and carried till the October 13th, 2021 meeting. They've already noticed, if anyone is on the meeting for that matter, you will not receive another notice. Please note, this is your notice. It's being carried till the October 13th meeting. And those are the only two changes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on August 11, 2021.
Madam Chair, I'd like to memorialize application 21PB15 for Abdul and Shaifa Bassett, minor subdivision block 1131, lot 401, 28, 29.01, zone R15.
I believe that was block 11317, just as a correction.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
Can I have a second, please?
Madam Chair, Henry Kenny, I'll second it.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'd like to memorialize application 20PB02 for Skiles Avenue and Sterling Drive Urban Renewal and Power Back, preliminary and final site plan.
Second, please. Do I get a second?
I'll second that, Madam Chair, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
I was excused.
It was recused.
Oh, correct. Thank you. Sorry. Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay. Madam Chairman, I'd like to memorialize application 20PB-18/19V for Core Development Group preliminary and final site plan with both variants.
Do I have a second?
Go ahead, second.
A second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'd like to memorialize application 21PB-20/21V for Core Development Group preliminary and final site plan with bulk variants.
May I have a second, please?
Madam Chair, this is Councilwoman Cahill. I will second.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to adopt the minutes from the regular meeting of August 11th, 2021, item number 8.
Do I have a second, please?
Reverend Kenny, I'll second it, Madam Chair.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. I believe minor subdivision, item number 920 PB6, that's the one that was postponed until October the 13th.
Me, Madam Chair, can the record show that Mr. Foster has joined the meeting?
Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Mayor Waller. Can we move to item 13 very quick and then jump back to our normal business?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, certainly. Fourth page, item number 13. Anybody have a motion to pay the bills?
This is Carol Saunders. I make a motion to pay the bills.
Do I have a second?
Second it, Mr. Foster.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Also, item number 11, 21PB9/09/10V is in Victor. Paul Rubon has been postponed till October 13th, as previously noted. Okay. Item number 12.
Madam Chair, I believe we have the number 10, 100 Springfield Avenue. Mr. Itall, I believe, is here for that matter.
Okay. I'm actually here for that, Mr. Arch.
I'm sorry, who? Mr. Arch? Yes. Oh, okay.
Oh, Mr. Arch. Okay, one minute. Let me see. Let me get myself together. Item number 10. Where's 10?
It's 100 Springfield Avenue, Madam Chair.
Okay, I see it now. Okay. Thank you. Item number 10. 21PB21/23V, 100 Springfield Avenue LLC, preliminary and final site plan. May you enter your appearance, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the board. My name is Tim Arch. I'm an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, representing the applicant, 100 Springfield LLC. We're here before you tonight requesting approval to add a 19,941 square foot addition to an existing warehouse located along Springfield Avenue. Quick piece of housekeeping, I would ask the board attorney if they reviewed the notice and if we have proper jurisdiction before this board.
It's fine, and we have jurisdiction.
Thank you. I will note that I am in receipt of two staff reports. One is an August 19th, 2021 report by Mr. Hinterstein, and the other is a CME report dated August 20th. Those are the only staff reports that we are in receipt of, and those are the ones that we're prepared to give testimony from tonight. There are three variances that we noticed for. The first of which I would like to indicate that we're actually withdrawing a request for the variance for EV charging stations. From the time that we filed this application, there's actually now state law that requires the EV charging stations, and so we are withdrawing our request for a variance of that requirement, so that can be taken off. The two variances that are left is we are requesting a parking variance where required is 267 parking spaces, there are 105 spaces that are proposed that are existing spaces. We'll provide testimony tonight as to why we think that is a reasonable request. There's also a variance to allow an existing monument sign that is located in the township right of way. We are requesting that we be able to keep that existing sign. None of the improvements or the addition is in the area that the sign is in. We're not asking for any, not doing any improvements in that area. I have three witnesses tonight. The first is John Siskin. He's the representative of the owner, the ownership entity. Then I have Mike Lanzafama. He is an engineer and planner. And finally, Lance Blake is our architect. So without any further ado, I would ask Mr. Siskin to unmute if we can have him sworn in for testimony.
Certainly.
Mr. Siskin, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give we the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
John Siskin, J-O-N, and Siskind is S-I-S-K-I-N-D.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Siskin, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm the president of the Siskin Group.
And you are the owner of the property at 100 Springfield, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, can you give us a brief summary of what the operation is at 100 Springfield, what it is that you do there?
Yeah, sure. Our company is a distributor of apparel and accessories. We supply stores like TJ Maxx and Marshall's, off-price stores in the industry. And we've been in business for many years, and we own and operate the facility at 100 Springfield Avenue as for our warehousing and distribution services for our business.
At that location, can you tell us what the general hours of operation are?
Yeah, the hours of operation are from 8 to 4:30.
Okay. And on an average day, how many trucks come in and out of the facility?
I would say on average between 2 and 4 trucks on average. Some days it could be nothing, but it could be zero. But I would say on average 2 to 4.
Okay. How many employees do you have that are working at the site?
Full-time employees are 12 at this time.
Okay, and with 12 employees there, how many cars on average are parked in your parking lot there?
On average, I would say we utilize about 10 parking spots.
Okay. As in terms of the trucks that are coming in, what kind of trucks traffic is it that's coming in there? Are they box trucks? What kind of truck?
No, not. I would say mostly tractor trailers. Mostly, I would say either between 48 and 53 foot trailers when they come in for either product that's arriving to us or product that we're shipping out. Generally, like I said, averaging between 2 and 4 a day. And then some days it could be nothing, but I would use 2 to 4 as an average.
Okay. Now you're proposing an expansion of the warehouse space. Is that because you intend to add more employees to the operation?
We don't envision adding many more employees. We would like to always be hiring some, but I think the majority of the purpose of the space is to enable us to store more product, specifically out of season product is generally a good part of our business. Since we're in the opportunistic business, we generally often buy product that's out of season and we require some additional space to do that, especially today. So that's the primary purpose of the addition.
So you don't anticipate an additional 50 or 100 employees coming in because of this addition?
When we hire additional, I would say it could be 2 to 3 at a time.
In terms of trash that's generated on the site, how is it that you go about disposing of that, of the refuse?
In the traditional way, we have a dumpster that's been at the site. That's emptied once a week currently. We don't go through in extraordinary amount of corrugated, for example. The way in which product comes into our facility, it goes out the same way. We don't do a lot of repacking and repackaging of product. So the amount of corrugated that comes in is typically the same amount goes out without being adjusted. And that's kind of how we function over the past 40 years, I would say. So the dumpster is traditional trash, and it's emptied weekly.
Okay. Now you've had an opportunity to see the reports, Mr. Hinterstein's report and the CME report, correct?
Yes.
Now we're asking, obviously, for a variance to allow the sign to maintain or to stay where it existing where it is existing. Apart from that, is there we can agree to all of the comments and conditions in the report, correct?
Yes, that's my understanding. Correct.
Madam Chair, Board, I would offer Mr. Siskin to you for any questions.
We have any questions from the board? I think his credentials are adequate for him to testify.
Madam Chair, if I may, this is Dawn Corcoran, I'm sorry, not really a question, but just a comment. With regard to the sign, the town we've never really approved something. We've never, to the best of my knowledge, approved any structure to be allowed within our right of way. What is the reasoning for not being able to push it back at least 10 feet? I mean, the ordinance does require 50. Again, we're looking for 10 feet, which is the standard for a directional sign, which is 10 square feet or less. I mean, we're trying to give you a little bit of relief here. Again, we're only looking for a 10-foot setback. What is the reasoning for not being able to at least get it to that distance?
No, I appreciate the question. To the best of my knowledge, there's always been a sign in that exact location. That sign has been in that exact location since we've been in the building. There is actually electricity to that sign. It's not just the sign by itself. It's a sign has been in that spot since we've been there. And there's electricity that's hardwired to it that provides light to the sign. So respectfully, we were asking if we could, it would incur a large cost and to be able to move it because of the electrical aspect of it, and that it's been there for a very long time. There's always been a sign in that location, so we were hoping that there would be understanding about the situation with this particular sign for this project.
And I believe, Mr. We do have testimony we do have our engineer planner, Mr. Lanzafama, who I think will also touch upon some testimony concerning the sign. So hopefully we'll be able to address any concerns.
Just one question, Mr. Siskin, when you say it's been there a long time, is that 10 years, 40 years? Just
I don't know.
Approximately?
I could only, I can only verify that it's been there, that there's been a sign in that spot since we've been in the building. We purchased the building at the end of 2012.
Okay.
I can't tell you how long it's been there. A sign has been there before that.
Thank you.
And Mr. If I can, and Mr. Siskin, the tax records show that the building was built, I believe, in 1975. Do you have any reason to doubt that the sign has been there since the inception of the building?
I don't.
Are there any other?
Oh, Madam Chair, if I may, when you moved into that building, did you get a permit to reface the sign, or is it a brand new sign? You said it's been there. So you did get a permit to reface it. Is that correct?
I don't recall. I don't recall what we got at that time.
Okay. Because I don't know that a permit would have been issued for that. So that just raises some concern.
I don't know the answer.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Are there any other questions of this witness?
Madam Chair? Mr. Barlow, if you could correct me if I'm wrong, does this board have jurisdiction to allow the sign within the right of way? It's my belief it's only the governing body that actually has jurisdiction to allow that.
Mr. Gottlieb, I'll be honest. I don't know if that's accurate. They could get the variance relief for the right of way, since, as Ms. Corcoran indicated, it's analogous to the directional sign. But I mean, let's see where the testimony goes. But I believe it sounds like it's been there a while. So I don't know the background to it. Maybe we'll get some more testimony about that.
Mr. Arch, do you think your next witness might be able to shed some light on that, give some information on that?
Well, I know that Mr. Lanzafam is a planner, and so I think he can provide the planning justification to it. I will note that I believe that the board certainly does have jurisdiction to provide the relief, since it's under the zoning ordinance that it's being cited, and this board does have, I believe, the ability to grant a variance of of your zoning ordinance or your signage ordinance. So I believe that certainly can be proper. I will note that presumably at some point when this site was developed, whether it be in 1975 or sometime after that, presumably it did go through a site plan approval process, and that sign, I can only assume, would have been shown at that time. I am not in a position, and we don't have the institutional knowledge that the township has as to whether there was what sort of site plan or what sort of approval was granted at that time. All we can assume is that sign was there and has been there and was erected with some form of township approval when it was erected. But again, we don't possess that institutional knowledge that the township has.
Okay, well then let's, are there any other questions from the other board members at this time? Okay, well then let's open it up to the public, Ms. Buckley. Is there anyone who's made a request to give testimony? I mean, to ask questions of this witness?
No one raised their hand, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Arch, you may call your next witness if there's no more questioning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My next witness would be Mike Lanzafama. I can ask that he's unmuted. Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Lanzafama, can you please raise your right hand?
I have.
Do you swear the testimony about the truth?
Yes, I do. My name is Michael Lanzafama. That's Lanzafama. I'm a licensed professional engineer, land surveyor and planner. I'm a principal with the firm of Casey and Keller Incorporated, 258 Main Street, Millburn, New Jersey. I've been licensed as a professional engineer and land surveyor since 1984 and as a professional planner since 1985. I've testified before this board on numerous occasions Been recently here on several other applications, the Cintas application, and our firm were the engineers that did the original Centennial Industrial Park subdivision and site plans for these buildings.
Madam Chair, I would ask that that Mr. Lanzafama's credentials be considered and that he be accepted as a expert in the field of engineering and planning.
I accept his credentials and he be accepted as a planner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to share my screen at the present time. And basically, we're going to start with an aerial image. This is the same aerial image that's on the cover page of the site plan that was submitted. The property in question is tax lot number 9 in block 4601. Its address is 100 Springfield Avenue. On the exhibit that's currently on the screen, Springfield Avenue runs east and west along the top part of the exhibit. New England Avenue is on your right. Old New Brunswick Road is to the left. This is the existing structure at 100 Springfield Avenue. The lot is a 5-acre parcel in the LI5 zone. As the attorney pointed out, it was constructed in the early 70s as part of the Centennial Industrial Park subdivision. It is an office warehouse structure. It has 77,231 square foot footprint, and the building actually has a two-story mezzanine office space of 18,112 square feet. The remaining portion is the warehouse space. There's currently parking for 100 vehicles on the site, as you can see from the exhibit. If I just zoom in a little bit here, you can see that currently there's parking along the southwesterly portion of the property. Existing loading bays exist at the rear portion of the building. There's access to the site via two driveways. The primary passenger car vehicle entrance is off 100 Springfield Avenue, and truck loading and unloading is off of New England Avenue on the far end of the property. As discussed, we may as well jump into the sign itself. I have several photographs that were taken during the day that we prepared the survey of the property. And you can see the sign in question. It's a relatively small sign, just identifying the property as 100 Springfield Avenue with simply the Siskin Group. Oh, it is not internally illuminated, but it's ground lit from this point. There's two floodlights that illuminate the sign. As John pointed out, there's electrical service that runs to that. The sign is about 8 feet from the curb line, so it is set back from the traveled way. And when you're looking at the property from a distance.
Mr. Lanzafama, can we just mark the photos as you go through them? So the first one will be A1 and the second one will be called as A2.
Correct. A2 is just a little further removed from the entrance of the driveway to give you a perspective of where it is relative to the building, and it's relatively small size. Obviously, the desire to keep the sign, it's really the only identification to the building. If you notice on this exhibit, there's no signage on the building indicating the Siskin Group or the location of the property. There's just the small address of 100 located on the facade of the building. So this helps motorists identify the location. So, you know, obviously the grant of a variance to allow the sign to remain would be a C2 variance, adding to identification, a safety issue with regard to traffic moving along Springfield Avenue, being able to identify the location of the property quickly and easily and be able to move in off of the street. As part of our application, when you're looking at the site plan, and we'll get to that in a moment, we are providing new sidewalks along the entire frontages of both New England Avenue and Springfield Avenue at a significant cost. And it provides for the town's great motivation to help for pedestrian access. Those sidewalks can go in without the need to relocate this sign. The sign does not cause a pedestrian hazard in any way. And to Mr. Gottlieb's point, if it's necessary to secure some type of approval from the township council to allow that to continue in its location, I'm sure that we would be happy to make that petition to the council. But I believe the first step is for the planning board to allow the variance to go forward, to allow the sign to exist in its current location, as Mr. Siskin pointed out, for at least 13 or 14 years. And it doesn't pose a negative implication to any of your zone plans. It's not an eyesore. It's not some huge monumental sign with flashing lights. It's simply an identification of the property for motorists that are coming to and from the site. So we would ask that under the C2 criteria of the municipal land use law, that the benefit of improved site visibility, traffic safety, it would be allowed, and that it would not have a substantial detriment to the public good or the intent and purpose of your zone plan. Moving on to the main topic of the application, which is our site plan, I'd like to bring up another exhibit, which we will call this A3, is it?
Yes, sir.
A3 is the site plan that was submitted as part of this application. The only thing we've done here is we've enhanced the image with some colorization so you can clearly see the location of the proposed addition, which is in the southern end of the property. It's 19,941 square feet. It's going to be used solely for warehousing of goods and materials. As part of the application, we're providing two additional loading doors to move product in and out of the site. Once the project is completed, we will be relocating and reconfiguring the parking along the western and southern side of the building so that we would add 5 additional parking spaces. So we would have 105 total. And that would include the addition of some additional handicap parking spaces, bringing the total number of handicap spaces provided to 5. The existing site only had 3, which was non-compliant with regard to the ADA requirements. In CME's report, they requested that we move the handicap stalls to the same side, to the building side of the property. I would offer that where we currently are proposing these spaces, they're directly opposite a side entrance to the building that's ADA accessible. Currently, we have 2 existing spaces on either side of that entry door. We're proposing a third immediately to the north, and then on the opposite side of the driveway, 2 additional spaces that would be van accessible. The rationale behind placing them here is they're directly opposite the entrance to that building. If we move those parking spaces against the building, it might be somewhat difficult for the handicapped person. They would have to go behind some vehicles to gain access to the entrance on the side of the building. So we would ask that we leave this configuration as proposed. We feel that it's a somewhat safer configuration. The electric vehicle charging stations we were going to propose immediately to the north of the landscaped island that we have, just to the north where there's 7 parking spaces, we would put in 4 electric charging stations as required by the state statute. And under the state statute, we actually get credit for 2 parking spaces for every parking space that we provide as an electrical vehicle charging station. So in essence, under the new regulations, we're actually providing 109 parking spaces, where under your ordinance, we're required to have 267. The 267 is determined by the requirement to provide one car for every 200 square feet of office space. The existing office space is at 18,112 square feet. So that equates to 91 parking spaces. The warehouse requirement of one car for every 500 square feet. The new warehouse space with the 19,941 square foot additional space would require 176 spaces. And that's how we come up with the 267 required. We're providing 105 physically, but under the code, we would be providing 109. Now,
Mr. Lanzafama, can I just interrupt for 1 second? I was writing at the time. Under the state statute, you've indicated how many would be required?
Four.
Four. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, right. Thank you.
Your ordinance only requires two, but the new state statute actually requires four.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. The bulk standards of the zone, the LI5 zone, are fully complied with regard to setbacks, building coverage, building height, floor area ratio. Everything is compliant with regard to the ordinance. The only variances that we were seeking are with regard to the parking and the signage. And I would offer some other sources of determining the best and highest use of a piece of property. You want to minimize the amount of impervious coverage on the property. So we looked at not only the fact that the business only has 12 employees and typically 10 cars on site at any given time. And every time we've been to the site, I don't even think we saw 10 cars there. And we were there about a half a dozen times during the course of the development of this plan. I looked at two other sources. The first source I looked at was the Urban Land Institute. And under their fifth edition of their dimensions of parking, they offer parking ratios for these types of uses. For a warehouse, their proposal is 0.67 cars per 1,000 square feet, which would equate to 59 parking spaces. For general office space, they proposed 3.8 cars per 1,000 square feet, which would equate to 69 cars, for a total parking demand of 128 cars instead of the 267 required by your ordinance. And then I also looked at the Institute of Traffic Engineers Parking Generation Manual, the fifth edition, which is the latest document out. And that's been updated even further than the ULI numbers. And for warehouses, they come up with, and this is based upon hundreds of studies throughout the country. So this is truly a good indicator of the real demand for parking at this particular location. The ITE numbers for warehouses of this size would be 0.39 cars per 1,000 square feet. That's only 35 cars would be required. And 2.39 cars per 1,000 square feet for the general office space. So that would be 43 cars for a total of 77 cars. So if you average the ULI numbers and the ITE numbers, you come up with 103 cars. That's how we arrived at providing at least 105 cars on the site. So based upon those additional statistics, and those are real practical numbers that are developed over hundreds of studies at various locations, we will have sufficient parking for this building, this type of building, and how it's not only used currently, but could potentially be used in the future. So, and what this does is it allows us to preserve a significant portion of the site. As you know, within your ordinance, we could provide front yard parking. However, you know, by providing the appropriate number of spaces that we think will support the activities within this building based upon the uses that are permitted in the ordinance, we can preserve all of the green space along the street frontage, which I think is a real significant benefit. So in my mind, I believe that that variance for the parking could also be granted under the C2 criteria of the municipal land use law, that under the positive criteria, we are advancing a number of goals and objectives within your zoning plan, as well as your 2005 master plan, as well as the 2020 reexamination. And that is to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of commercial industrial uses, to try and maintain open space where possible, to provide for energy efficient land use development by eliminating that amount of impervious area. You're talking about reducing runoff rates, and on a night like this, that's exactly what you want to do. The preservation of existing vegetation on the site is also a definite advantage. And again, based upon the statistics cited from the ITE and the ULI studies, I feel safe in saying that we will not negatively impact the intent and purpose of your zone plan, or the goals and objectives of your master plan. You can see from our design, we are providing some additional landscaping around the site. We are proposing to remove some trees along the streetscape of Springfield Avenue, only because they're ash trees and they're diseased. Mr. Hinterstein mentions that in his report, and we will be replacing them on a one-to-one basis. We're also adding sidewalks all along our street frontages, and we know one of the major goals of the community is to create those pedestrian-friendly walkways throughout Centennial Industrial Park, so employees during their lunch hour can take walks, or they could even walk from building to building as they interact without having to move their vehicle. So again, I see this as a real plus, not only for the community, but for the environment as a whole. We are increasing the impervious coverage on the site as a result of the addition. We are providing a stormwater management basin, a biobasin, that will manage the additional runoff from the site and tie it into the existing collection system within New England Avenue. Lighting for the site is basically existing around the new addition. We will be putting some floodlights. There was a comment in Mr. Hinterstein's memorandum regarding lighting in the loading dock area. There are existing lights on the building that illuminate that area. We just did not show the foot candles for that area. We will be adding that to the plan. There is adequate lighting in that area, and there's no need for additional lighting to properly illuminate that loading area and the access drive from New England Avenue. So the bottom line is we can comply with the comments in both the CME memo and the Hinterstein memorandum. The only comment I ask is that perhaps we take another look at where the handicap stalls are. I think where I have them is a good location, but I can certainly speak to Mr. Gottlieb and we can discuss possibly working that out. And because we do have to reconfigure some of the spaces for the electric vehicles, so I'm sure we can come to a meeting of the minds with regard to the proper location of handicap spaces. So again, just to summarize, the variance request for the sign is that it's a C2 life safety issue, identification of the building. It's not an obtrusive sign. It doesn't have an impact on the pedestrian walkway system. And it has been there for over a decade. And we ask that some consideration be given and it be allowed to be retained at that location. And finally, the parking variance, again, a C2 variance in my mind, giving the statistics cited, I think that can be granted too without any negative impact to the community. And I believe that's all I have. And if you have any questions, I would be happy to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Lanzafama.
You're welcome.
Board members, do you have any questions of Mr. Lanzafama? Hearing no questions, Ms. Pleat, would you look into the public and see if there's any questions coming from the public?
No one's raising their hands, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Arch, do you have anything else you want to say to the board?
We have one final witness, Your Honor. That would be Lance Blake, our architect. I would ask that he be sworn in.
Thank you.
He is present and he is unmuted, ready to be sworn in.
Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, I can hear you, Ms. Saunders.
I think we're waiting for Carol. Ms. Saunders? Tom, can you just swear him in, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sir, can you raise your right hand? Can you state your name and spell your last name?
Lance Blake, B-L-A-K-E.
You swear the testimony you give before the board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Can you please give us your address?
16 Microlab Road, Livingston, New Jersey.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Blake, can you please, first of all, have you ever testified in front of Piscataway as an architect before?
I have in the past, yes. And I testified before numerous boards, yeah.
And you were qualified then when you were in front of this board?
Yes.
I'm a
licensed professional architect in the state of New Jersey, as well as numerous other states. I've been practicing architecture and practicing since 1984, licensed since 87. I'm the managing principal of my firm for the last 25 years. And again, I've testified before dozens of boards throughout the state.
Madam Chair, I would ask that he be recognized as an expert in architecture.
Thank you. He may testify as an expert. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, if I can just place something on the record, I believe that you had indicated that Mr. Lanzafama was accepted as a expert planner. I would just note for the record, I believe he's also, I would ask if he was recognized as an expert engineer.
Yes, and engineer also, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Blake, I believe there was a request for some testimony as to how the building would look. You're the architect, and
sure.
Why don't you take it away?
Yeah, I mean, if you could pull up the rendering, I think I had asked you.
Certainly, I'm going to share the screen. Just give me 1 second.
So my testimony will be relatively brief.
Join the meeting.
Hello?
Yep,
can everybody see the screen?
Yep, this would be A4, and Ms. Saunders is back with us.
Yes.
Yes. So this is a computer-generated rendered view of the building showing from the left side of the building to the right side, the existing structure. There are two colors of brick that exist. One is a dark brown. The other one is a beige color. And basically all we're doing with the addition is we're going to match the dark brown color so that, the way it intersects with the beige, it'll do the same thing on the back end. The only difference is that the addition is slightly taller than the existing building. We're going to be developing a structure of 35 feet in height in order to get a 30-foot clear inside building for his racking operation. Again, the building will have an entrance, and two loading docks, and that's pretty much it. Very simple.
Mr. Blake,
it will be a brick facade. Yes.
Excuse me, that's going to be consistent with the area and with other buildings in the area. Is that correct?
Yes, as well, and this particular building, in to be specific. We're not, it's a quality building. We're not building just a metal skin building. It's, again, the owner wants the building to, wants the addition to blend and looks like it, could have been always there.
Thank you. If we have any questions for Mr. Blake, I would offer them up to the board for questions.
Board members, do you have any questions of this witness, of the architect and his testimony? Hearing no questions from the board, I'd like to open it to the public. Ms. Buckley, would you check to see if there's any questions from the public?
Mr. Art, can you unshare your screen, please? Oh,
sorry,
thank
yes.
You. It's okay, thank you. It's just much easier. No one is raising their hands, Madam Chair.
Okay, then fine. If there's no additional questions from the board, are there? Mr. Arch, you may sum up or make.
Thank you. I'll be brief. Essentially, we're asking for two variances. The parking variance, I think, is clearly we have an excess of parking. We have more than enough parking to accommodate the use in that building and enough parking to accommodate any future use in that building. Again, I would indicate that sign that is there is a currently existing sign. It's not something that's as simple as to pick up and to move back. There is a cost associated with moving it, but really it's there for safety concerns and for identification of the building. If a truck drives by and doesn't see that sign or doesn't recognize where they're supposed to turn into that building, that's going to require them to drive past to potentially back up. And those sorts of actions can cause safety concerns, especially if we're going to have a more walking traffic in that area with the additional sidewalks in there. Again, it's not creating a safety hazard by
join the meeting.
It's potentially creating safety hazards by being removed from there. So I would certainly ask that the board consider that as well. And I thank you so much for your time and attention tonight.
Thank you. Members of the board, you've heard this presentation and request for variances.
Madam Chair, just
yes.
Before you, I would just like to, I would suggest to the board that if the board is going to consider granting the variance for the sign, that it be done subject to any prior resolutions of approval that may have been set forth for this property, and also subject to the presentation before the township council if there's an issue with regards to the right of way and the township attorney believes that it's appropriate. So I don't know how the board's going to act. I would just suggest that, and I think the applicant agreed that they would be willing to do that. And I just want to make sure that that's part of any potential approval that the board may consider. Thank you.
And that is absolutely correct, Mr. Barlow. We're more than happy to work with the township attorney for council approval and exactly what you stated. We certainly would do that.
Mr. Gottlieb.
Yes. Mr. Barlow, do you think it might be a good idea if they provided an indemnification agreement, believing that if should the board act favorably on the variance indemnify the township of any responsibility, being that it is on the township property?
I'm sure that is something the township attorney will discuss with the applicant's attorney, and I assume that the applicant's willing to work with the municipality if they have any concerns in that regard.
And just to note, because Mr. Gottlieb indicated that it's township property, I don't believe that it is township property in terms of ownership. It's a right of way, so that would be by way of, I'm assuming, an easement. But we certainly have no
issue. Township property. Right of way is township property.
I have to have to see what the document was. I know that the township consistently does easements for municipal purposes, which do not convey ownership. I don't have that document at hand, so I don't know if it is specifically township property or if there's an easement in place. But as Mr. Barlow said, I certainly would work with the township council in any sort of agreement that would be for that area.
Thank you.
Okay. If the board would like to make a motion, someone on the board to include those addenda that have been suggested.
Madam Chair, this is Councilwoman Cahill, and I'll make the motion to approve this application based upon the agreement by the applicant to work with the township. I think at the end of the day, we know the reasoning for wanting to move signs. That's so that the taxpayers of the town aren't paying for, you know, removal of signs, et cetera, when or if a road gets widened. So it sounds like this applicant will agree to that at such a time when or if there's repairs done to the road or the road gets widened. So I would say to the board, I believe this is a great application, and I would move to approve it based upon, the applicant agreeing to all of the requirements set in motion.
Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll second that.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller? I think I lost the mayor. Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes, Laura.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Your application has been approved.
Thank you very much. Good evening. Mm-hmm.
Thank everybody you. Everybody stay safe. Everybody have a good night.
Thank you very much, everybody. We appreciate it. Thank you.
And lastly, our item number 1221PB25/26V.
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill, and I must recuse myself from this application. I think we've taken care of other business. So with your approval, I am going to dismiss myself from the meeting.
Yes, you're excused.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Have a good night, everybody. Please keep safe.
Good night, Gabby.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I also need to recuse myself from the application.
Thank you, Ms. Corcoran, you're excused.
Thank you. Have a good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
And I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, I know Mayor Waller was going to recuse himself from this application. I believe he's in DPW at the moment.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Henderson, we're ready to proceed. Are you ready to proceed?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
You may proceed.
Yeah, the application before you tonight is for a subdivision of a property that I own in 1201 Brookside Road in Piscataway, block 8301, lot 101. I'm looking to subdivide the property, which is an oversized property consisting of slightly more than 23,000 square feet. It's in an R10 zone where the requirement is for 10,000 square foot lots. Again, I'm looking to subdivide it relatively evenly into two lots. As a result of the subdivision in the shape of the lot being a corner property, I have a couple of minor variances that are required for lot width, lot frontage on both lots, and also a small front yard setback variance on Palisades Avenue for the corner property. So that's it in a nutshell. I believe you've seen the plans have been submitted for the proposed house that's going to be placed on the new created lot. And I do have my engineer and professional planner here, Mr. Hollows, who will be testifying on the variances that we're seeking tonight. If anybody has any questions though about the subdivision, I'd be more than happy to answer those questions before we get to the planning testimony.
Okay, you can. Do we have any questions of Mr. Hinterstein, board members, before we get to his planner with reference to the division of the property?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, Mr. Henry
I was past your property yesterday. Which way is both of the houses going to face Brookside Avenue, or is one frontage going to face Palisades?
Yeah, good question. Both houses are going to be facing Brookside Road. So both houses are going to front Brookside, and the one house on the corner is going to have a side entry garage, and the utilities are going to come from Palisades due to the fact that there's a moratorium on Brookside Road. But the houses from Brookside are going to, both houses are going to be facing Brookside Road.
I see. Okay, very good. Because I live in Gramercy Park. I don't think I have to excuse myself from that area.
I believe you're way more than 200 feet from the property.
Right. Thank you, Henry. That's all I have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Henderson, would you call your planner?
Sure. Mr. Hollows, are you on the...
I am here.
All right. You want to qualify yourself just for the board's purpose?
Let's swear him in first. Ms. Saunders?
Yeah, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give with the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
William Hollows, Hollows. I am a licensed professional engineer, land surveyor, and planner from the state of New Jersey. I have been licensed for over 30 years. I have been before the zoning board in Piscataway, but not before the planning board. But I am constantly in going to boards in New Providence, Berkeley Heights, Summit, Westfield, as both engineer and planner in those communities.
For the record, please, would you give us a benefit of your educational background?
I'm a graduate of NJIT, North College of Engineering and Civil Engineering.
Have your credentials always been accepted, Mr. Hollows, as a planner and as an engineer?
Yes.
Thank you. You're acceptable as an expert in those fields.
Good. I'd like to, share my screen.
Okay.
Can everybody see that?
Okay, here you go.
This is basically the slide of where the property is. This is your area map, your property owners within 200 feet, your zoning schedule at the bottom. It's the same drawing that you have. I haven't done anything other than put it in here, but you can see the property is located on Brookside Road at the southeast corner with Palisade Avenue. It's known as lot 1.01, block 830. It contains 23,007 square feet, and it's basically 173 feet wide by 132.7 feet deep. And I'm just gonna, I think probably just go to a slide that I made that you don't have. It is sheet two, and I've colorized it so that you can see the proposal here, and then I can show you where the proposed variances are.
In some way?
We'll mark that as A1, Mr. Hollows, the colorized layout plan?
Yes, I will mark that up and I will get a copy to the board secretary.
Thank you, sir.
This is a subject property that I just spoke of. You got Brookside Avenue at the bottom of the drawing, Palisade Avenue is to the left, and this is the proposal. Is to subdivide this 23,000 square foot lot and into two lots. One would be 87 feet wide by 132 feet deep. It would contain 11,544 square feet. The corner lot would have 90.72 feet at the right of way. It's 82 feet in the back. The line is skewed on Palisade. And you can see that lot would have 11,461 square feet. So both exceed the 10,000 square feet that's required. What the variances that we're seeking here as part of the subdivision would be for lot frontage on the interior lot, 1.02, 100 feet is required. We're at 87 feet. And at the setback line, we're required to have 100 feet, and we have 87 feet. And on the corner lot, we have 90.72 feet of lot frontage on the road. But actually, I've got to correct my drawing. It is 88.42 feet at the setback line. When I was putting my notes together, I realized that the setback line and the front right-of-way line are two different distances.
It was 88.42, sir?
88.42.
Thank you.
And the other variance has to do with the side yard or the front yard setback off of Palisade Avenue for the proposed house. And that's we've got a corner lot there. It reduces the building envelope. And we're asking for that variance. And you can see that the interior lot has a driveway coming out to Brookside. And that is a curb cut that was there from the previous home that sat on this property. And the corner lot will face Brookside, but the driveway will go out to Palisade. And in addition, all the utilities will be connected from Palisade into the house. They're all there in the street, and they would just be extended. As Mr. Hinterstein had indicated, there is a moratorium on cutting the road open on Brookside. I've gone over the variances, and I just wanted to also let the board know that these houses, proposed houses, we meet all other requirements as far as side yard setback, lot coverage, building coverage, that type of thing. So it's really just those three variances, well, the lot width, lot frontage, and the front yard setback. And I would consider all of these to be C variances. They would fit in the C2 flexible criteria, and that C2 provision allows a variance for certain dimensional requirements when the purpose of the MUL or municipal land use law would be advanced. The benefits of the deviation would outweigh the detriments, and a relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantial impairment of the zone plan. And I think the reasons that I make that statement is that the existing lot is 23,007 square feet, and the new lots were going to be over by 10%. They're over the threshold of 10,000 square feet by 10%. There is no ability to purchase additional property from the adjoining property owners because their lots. The lot behind us on Palisade is deficient in lot width. And then there's no additional lot area that you could purchase to try to correct these deviations from the ordinance. And there are seven lots across the street on Brookside that range in lot width and lot frontage. They're in the 70s. There's one that's 95 and there's one in the 80s. So that, you know, this isn't something new to this neighborhood, these deviations from the lot width requirement. And it's my feeling that these lots would be more harmonious with the lots in the surrounding neighborhood here, rather than one large lot with a big house on it. I think that these two smaller homes would fit in much better with the existing neighborhood. Now, as far as the C variance for the front yard setback along Palisade, you could look at that as a C1 hardship because, again, as I stated before, you've got a corner lot, and on that corner lot, you've got a smaller building envelope. That could be a hardship because we have two front yard setbacks, but it also fits into the C2 flexible. I mean, the benefits, again, the how this subdivision fits in a neighborhood is probably the most important thing. You know, it's not a very large setback requirement, and 35 is required, and we're at the back of the house is at 29.6, and the front of the house is at 31.4. I mean, I don't think if someone drove down Palisade Avenue, they could tell that the house violated the front yard setback in that area. I think it's not going to change the streetscape at all. And as far as these variances, you know, I believe the subdivision proposal with the variances promotes the MUL by several items, and I'll list those items as I see them. A is to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use for development of all lands in the state in a manner that will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. C would be to provide adequate light and air in open space. B is to promote the establishment of appropriate population densities and concentrations that will contribute to the well-being of persons, neighborhoods, communities, and regions, and preservation of the environment. And G would be to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a variety of agricultural, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses in open space, both public and private, according to the respective environmental requirements in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. And I think these items, these benefits to the community would outweigh any detriments associated with the granting of the variance for front yard setback, lot width, and lot frontage. As far as the negative criteria goes, I believe there will be no substantial detriment as a result of the proposed application and resulting variances, since the proposed subdivision will create two lots more harmonious with the town zone plan and fit the surrounding neighborhood better than one big lot with a larger house. The proposed subdivision will result in two new homes that will improve aesthetics of the area. The proposed variances are not unique to this neighborhood. The proposal is in character with other homes in the area, which also have deficient lot width, frontage, and front yard setbacks. And when looking at the possible impairment to the zone plan or master plan, I do not see any impairment that could result from this application, as again, the proposed subdivision will create two properties more in harmony and conformance with the township zone plan and master plan goals and objectives. To sum this up, the reasons I believe that all the C bulk variances for this application can be granted under the C1 and C2 criteria requirements respectively, as outlined, without any substantial detriment to the public or impairment to the zone and master plan. And that is the planning testimony. You want me to unshare my screen?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there Good. We go.
Are there any questions of this witness from the members of the board?
Madam Chair, I just have a question for Mr. Hinterstein. Mr. Hinterstein, you had an opportunity to review Mr. Gottlieb's August 20th, 2021 report.
I did.
And with regard to the planning comments A through J, A is informational, and so is B. But with regards to C through J, you don't have any issue complying with those comments?
No, I do not.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, could we, if there's no other questions, Ms. Buckley, could you see if there's any questions from the public?
Anyone in the public have any questions or comments at this time? I don't see anyone raising their hands, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is that the end of your application, Mr. Hinterstein?
Yeah, that's basically it in a nutshell. Hopefully makes sense to everyone.
Okay, members of the board, may I have a motion as with reference to this application, please?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I make a motion that this application be approved. It meets the C1, C2 variance. Even in that area, it's going to improve that area, Brookside and the corner of Palisades. That area has been vastly improved throughout the couple of years. New homes have been going up, and it's going to make a grave improvement because the applicant knows the area and knows what we need in communities like this. So I make a motion that this application be approved.
And Madam Chair, not to cut you off, I apologize. There's a H. McCullough who just messaged me and said that they would like to speak on the application.
And in the chat room, there's also a Cesar Massaforal.
Okay.
Okay. Mr.
You guys have to unmute. We don't know if you don't.
I would suggest, Mr. Reverend Kenny, just for purposes of procedurally, if you could withdraw your motion, let the members of the public ask their questions, and then we could redo the motion if necessary.
Yes, we can. Reverend Kenny?
Yes, I withdraw.
Okay. Mr. McCullough or Mr. Massaforal?
Hello, can you hear me?
Who's speaking, sir?
Good evening, everyone. Members of the board, Madam Chair. My name is Cesar Massaforal.
Okay.
I am the media.
Could you please spell your name, sir? Could you spell your name and give us your address, please?
Certainly. Cesar, C-E-S-A-R. My last name is M-A, S as in Sam, F as in Frank, O-R-R-O-L-L.
Thank you.
My residence is 59 Palisade Avenue.
Okay. Can you swear him in, Ms. Saunders?
Yes, Mr. Massaforal, can you please raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
It is the truth, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I'm the media resident behind the property in question on the Palisade side. And my feedback regarding the minor subdivision plans for this site application would be to deny this request. The main reason is because I have safety concerns. I feel that splitting the parcel in two would mean more cars parked on the street. And because this is a corner lot, this would create a hazard with turning onto Brookside Road coming out of Palisade. As a resident of this community, I could already feel the effects of excess road parking when turning right on Brookside Road coming out of Palisade, where there's an immediate hump, and this creates a blind spot. So subdividing this property, I feel that if they're cars park near the front of the property on the Brookside Road, it would create an additional hazard when turning. And that to me is a great concern. And that's my main reason for denying this request.
Sir, just so you're aware, the application complies with what are called the RSIS standards, which are the standards that govern residential construction. And the project that's been proposed has the appropriate parking on site to comply. So they don't need any type of variance or anything for the parking. They're providing enough with regards to the application. And obviously, if there's a concern about people parking too close to the curb, you know, there's municipal ordinances that deal with that. And if you're concerned about that, you should certainly, you know, contact the administration or the police department if you're worried about people parking too close to the intersection. But thank you for your comments, sir.
Well, thank you for your feedback, Mr. Marlowe. I'm just expressing already my experience with the current status of this property. And I just feel that it would just create more of a hazard. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's another person who had a question.
I think that was it, Madam Chair. Anyone else in the public have any questions or comments? No one else, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Closed to the public. I return to the board. Do you have a motion that you'd like to put forth with reference to this property?
Again, Reverend Kenny, since this applicant meets all the criteria of C1, C2 in this neighborhood and the variance, he's in compliance. There's street parking in that area. Like you say, he can address that to public safety if he needs to. Anyone lives in that area. But this application is in compliance, and I grant this application be approved.
Do we have a second?
No. Carol Saunders, second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Your application is approved, Mr. Hinterstein.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Everybody get home safe tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion to adjourn if there's no other business?
I make a motion for adjournment, Madam Chair.
Second?
Second.
Thank you.
Everyone, good drive evening, safe. Everyone.
Have a good evening.
Yes.
Flora, drive safe.
Thanks. And
yes. Have a nice holiday. It's Labor Day weekend coming
up. Happy Labor Day, everybody. End of summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Reverend. Hey, Mr. Foster.
Bye-bye. Record.